Channel 142,
Blog
HBC
Talk Radio.
Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Traveling Eye on HUR Voices, SiriusXM, Channel 141. I'm Bonnie Deshawn.
And I'm Javon Harley.
And we have a wonderful website we invite you to go visit. And while you're there, we want you to join our travel club, because then we'll let you know where we're going sooner than anyone else. Friend us and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and always use the great hashtag, The Traveling Eye Show.
And today we're going to answer some questions for you. Actually, one question, and that is, do I really need that? So just think of those times when you're about to take a trip and you ask yourself, do I really need that? So some of those top questions we're going to answer for you today.
And we're going right into some travel news because Javon, Dubai is testing a new visa approach.
They are looking at a visa issuing robot. It'll be part of their new immigration system at the Dubai airport. It's still in the process of developing, so you won't see the robot. However, you may see it in the very near future. This was a robot that was designed by a Korean technology firm, and this particular robot will be designed to answer any immigration-related questions that a traveler might have, and it can also renew visas or even issue visas, let's say for transit visas or permits, so those who are traveling within the UAE or traveling into the Dubai airport. So it may happen as soon as next year. It's actually called the New Generation Immigration, and it's a control room with pre-clearance system on passengers. So basically, your passenger data is already going to be in their system based on flights that are booked. So they'll have everybody's flights that are booked in and out of Dubai or even transiting Dubai, and then that way the robot will have your necessary information.
That is amazing.
It is amazing.
Scary, too.
Yeah. Well, I always tell people when they talk about, well, I don't want this company or I don't want this to have my information. It's like the government and companies and systems have your information more than you already know.
Mm-hmm. Now, Expedia is going to do something really, I would say, innovative.
Right. Well, this has been an ongoing issue between airlines and online travel agencies, or as we call them, OTAs. And this is the divulgence of fees, because we look at an airfare and we look at Expedia or Kayak or these online travel agencies, and all we see is the airfare. But we know that the price of the ticket doesn't stop there. We know that there are baggage fees. We know that there are cancellation and change fees and penalties, and we want to know about those. So Expedia is now taking on that issue of transparency with the airline booking system, and they're going to display extra fees right alongside the base ticket price in a search. So right now they have it with Delta, and they will soon have it on some of the other airlines. They'll even have some upgrade options that you can take a look at that will include those checked bag fees, those other cancellation and change fees as well.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. It gives you a chance to know exactly where your money's going and what you're paying for.
Well, certainly.
Now, why is Americans worried about identity theft so much?
Well, we are, and I can attest to that because my travelers, my group travelers, that's one thing they're always asking about and a little concerned about, because we've switched our system over in the last couple of years to online booking for the most part, and we get people who still say today, I'm amazed at the number of people that say, I don't trust the internet. And most importantly is that they're saying, I'm concerned about identity theft. And they're saying, this particular report is saying that 77% of Americans are frightened of having their identity stolen. And this is why a lot of people don't trust these booking engines or online or on-site bookings. And one in five Americans, they say, are not worried at all. But there is a difference as far as the person's age. Right. So if you're talking about 18 to 30-year-old, they're not really that concerned about it. But your 30-plus, they're quite nervous about it. And certainly anybody over 49 or 50, they're very nervous about it.
But, you know, I can understand that because every time you turn on the TV, they're talking about people hacking into computers, getting people's I just got yesterday a form that said we think somebody got the information at one of our, you know, credit card things. And I'm going,
Right, but I don't know if identity theft as a whole, because identity theft is somebody taking your identity, posing as you, and getting credit, lines of credit and all of these things in your name. I've had my credit card number breached before. I can easily get that rectified. So I think that just as we consider that, there are measures that are in place. And so even if you use your credit card at your grocery store, if you use it at the ATM, all of these things can really jeopardize. Anything can be of sorts here. That's why last week we talked about the chip and PIN that's now implemented on some of the new credit cards. America's very much behind with the chip and PIN on credit cards.
Yep. Well, this is going to be something to look out for. But Javon, seriously, what's up with this warm weather?
Well, we can say that it's because of El Nino. And that's right. If you're on the East Coast or if you're in the Midwest, then you're experiencing some very warm fall temperatures. We're here in Chicago, and it's in the mid to upper 70s. Of course, people are breaking out the shorts and T-shirts, or maybe they haven't put them away yet. But we did have a spell of cold weather that was actually fall. However, they're saying not only the fall, but late into November, we can see warm temperatures and maybe even a warm winter overall from the Northeast to the Midwest.
You know, I'm not going to fight that warm temperature during the winter time. Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, we had a pretty brutal winter last year. So for those states who experience warm weather all year round, you understand what that means to us here.
Tell us about the Hawaii recent ecosystem.
Well, there is some pressure on Hawaii to crack down on and to protect their reef ecosystem. And any reef ecosystem that we have, whether it's the Great Barrier Reef, it's in the Caribbean, or it's in Hawaii here, that reef is very important to the ecosystem. And Hawaii's is in trouble for two reasons. The main two reasons are, and this I didn't know, it's the capture of thousands of wild reef animals for the use of household aquariums.
Really?
Yeah, excuse my ignorance, but yeah, I think it had to start somewhere. But I thought at this point they would farm them somehow. But no, there is an annual capture of hundreds of thousands of wild reef animals, and so a lot of them are coming from Hawaii, and it's making that system very fragile. The other reason is the coral bleaching that is occurring. And there's two ways of coral bleaching, or two causes, I guess. One is man-made. They're explosives, and they're things that are introduced into the area that are not natural. The other is natural, where maybe because of something like an El Nino or something like that, we have warmer temperatures or global warming. And these warmer temperatures, along with maybe explosives and some other man-made intrusions, rob the coral of its algae and therefore the pigmentation. So you're starting to see more white coral. So that's why they call it the bleaching or coral bleaching, because it's robbing it of some of those natural things that would be there that they would feed off of and therefore giving it more pigment.
Wow.
Yeah, very interesting.
You don't even think, I didn't ever thought about any of that.
No, and of course I'm sure with tourists we want to go scuba diving and we have to be very careful to enjoy the environment without changing it.
Exactly. Okay, Carnival is relaxing its BYOB policy.
It certainly is. Remember we talked about this. They had this bottle ban, and they still have the bottle ban, but they have relaxed their non-alcoholic drinks ban for bringing that on board, as long as it's in cans and or it's in cartons of 12 or fewer ounces. So you can bring non-alcoholic beverages on, because before they had done almost a system-wide ban on beverages coming on board. So the bottle ban is still in place. So you may want, if you're going on Carnival or any other cruise line, you want to check some of their prohibited items and things like that before you get to a port or before you bring things on board. But certainly they have relaxed that non-alcoholic beverage BYOB policy.
Amen. Okay, Javon, what should I do if my rental car breaks down?
Well, one thing you want to do to protect yourself is when you pick up your car rental, you want to check it out. Now, I'm guilty of this myself, too. I do the inspection, but I usually do the exterior inspection, meaning I kick the I don't literally kick the tires, but you look at the tires, you look at scratches, you look at the headlights, the taillights, the trunk, those kinds of things. But I rarely get inside and start turning things on to see what's working or what's not working, and that's something that you want to do, too. The reason that I bring this up is that in Condé Nast Traveler, there was a story about a couple who rented a car in South Africa. When they got back home, 2 weeks later, they received this credit card bill for $800 in addition to the car rental, and it was to repair their condenser. They said that the car's AC wasn't working, and because they didn't report this problem ahead of time, that they were responsible for paying for it. And that's something else I didn't realize. Is that these are kind of normal maintenance things, and
right.
I think that this isn't something that I would be responsible for. But you better know the car rentals policy on what you're responsible for and what you're not responsible for, and then check those things before you get in as well. Now, in this particular case, they said that they didn't immediately turn the air conditioner on. It wasn't until a few days later that they felt they needed it, and then it wouldn't come on. They immediately called Avis Car Rental. However, they didn't get anybody on the phone. They left a message. When they returned the car, they advised the attendant, and he just said okay. But then 2 weeks later, they got this bill for the condenser.
If they had taken out insurance, I wonder if that would have been one of the things that would have been covered. And, you know, car insurances have all these different kind of insurances, car rentals.
It depends on the type of insurance that you have and what's included in that insurance. But here's a situation of you have liability insurance, you have personal property insurance, all of these things with different car rental companies. You know, which insurance would this fall under? Because, again, this to me seems like just a common maintenance thing, something that can go out. Like, what could I have done to break the air conditioner?
Right. What are some reasons that you'd be denied entry into another country?
If your passport is mangled or old or too worn and too used, sometimes that can be a cause to deny you entry.
Wow.
One very common one is knowing whether or not you need a visa, and not just a visa to visit a country, but sometimes you need a transit visa. So that's something you want to check into. Blank pages. Do you have enough blank pages?
To that one.
An expiration date. Not just is it valid before I leave, but is it valid so many days beyond your final date of travel? A lot of countries have anywhere from 30 days to 6 months, and so you need to calculate that. And what you look like. Have you had a dramatic appearance change? Well, this is something that you definitely want to focus on and maybe get that passport reissued or renewed.
Wow, that's a good one. When we come back, we're going to have, do I really need that?
You're listening to The Traveling Eye. I'm Bonnie Deshawn.
And I'm Javon Harley on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141.
Here's today's Black History Moment on the Howard University Radio Network.
Today in Black History, we honor Thurgood Marshall, the first African-American U.S. Supreme Court judge. A pioneer of the civil rights movement, Marshall received his law degree from Howard University in 1933. In 1940, Marshall won his first Supreme Court case, Chambers versus Florida. He would argue many other successful cases in front of the Supreme Court, most notably Brown versus Board of Education, which deemed separate schools for black and white children unconstitutional. In 1967, President Lyndon B. Johnson nominated Thurgood Marshall to the U.S. Supreme Court. He would later be sworn in as the first African-American Supreme Court judge. Today, Thurgood Marshall's legacy lives on through numerous monuments and airport names in honor in his hometown of Baltimore, Maryland. We thank Thurgood Marshall for his contributions to Black history.
This has been Black History Moments on the Howard University Radio Network.
Tanning, indoors or out, increases your risk of skin cancer, including melanoma, the second most common cancer in young adults and the leading cause of cancer death in women 25 to 30.
Tanning doesn't make me look healthier. My ambition does. Tanning doesn't make me stand out. My drive does.
Tanning can cause wrinkles, age spots, and even melanoma, the cancer that kills one person every hour. And using tanning beds significantly increases your risk of developing melanoma.
Tanning doesn't make me glow. My individuality does.
Tanning doesn't make me feel better about myself. I got the job!
My confidence does. Tanning doesn't make you more beautiful. It only makes you more at risk. Stop tanning. Learn more at spotskincancer.org, a message from the American Academy of Dermatology.
Technology moves at the speed of innovation, and today, that's lightning fast. So when you get your hands on the latest tech, don't forget to do the right thing with your old devices. Recycle them. The Consumer Electronics Association and its members are making recycling your old tech device as easy as purchasing new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the responsible recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find lots of tips to simplify your recycling, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Television sets, video game consoles, smartphones, tablets, they're all recyclable. Don't let them clog up your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org. You're sharp enough to get the latest tech tools into your home. Now be responsible enough to get your old devices to the recycler. That's greenergadgets.org.
Welcome back to the Traveling Eye on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bonnie Deshawn.
And I'm Javon Harley.
And we would love for you to send us Instagram pictures. We really like those. Send us and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Let us know what you think about the show. If you have any show ideas, use the hashtag TheTravelingEyeShow. And now it's time for Javon's Travel Minute.
Well, Vermont has thrown down the gauntlet and declared itself the home of the world's best foliage. They state that no one does foliage better than Vermont. Their claim is that three-quarters of the state is forested, and they have the highest percentage of maple trees in the country, boasting flaming reds, blazing oranges, and glowing yellows. That gives them the most vibrant fall colors in the world. Now, I'm sure other states and countries may take issue with this bold claim, but I'm not trying to validate or dispute it. I just know that the colors of fall are vibrant and beautiful, and there's nothing like a fall adventure to witness nature changing its colors. There's so many places across the country and globally you can go, but certainly any place confident enough to make such a bold claim is worth a visit, and it's piqued my interest. If you have a favorite place to visit for fall foliage, let me know and share your photos on social media using the hashtag TheTravelingEyeShow. This is Javon, and that was your Travel Minute. Happy leaf peeping, people.
You love the leaf peep. You know, it's funny. I was looking out over Grant Park today,
mm-hmm.
and with it being so warm, the trees that have a lot of green, but the bright red leaves that are at the top of the trees are really beautiful.
Yeah, well, we did experience a little bit of fall, and so the trees said, okay, we can change now, and then it warmed up again. They're like, oh, no, wait, not yet. But that means you do have that mixture of green amidst the other colors, which is beautiful. You don't have to go far to find some, but it's what's in abundance, and the types of trees will give you different fall colors. And when I lived in D.C., we used to take the drive along Skyline Drive in Virginia. So any place that is heavily forested, and I know that Vermont is really beautiful this time of the year, as well as a lot of the Northeast. I think the Northeast probably has some of the best. Of course, Canada falls into that category as well.
Well, I'm excited about our show today because on all aspects of travel, you've asked your question
over and over again, I'm sure at least once, do I really need that?
You do ask that question of yourself. And you do it when you're preparing for your trip. You do it when you're packing for your trip. You do it when you're purchasing your trip. And so I wanted to kind of look at those things that I get asked often from my group travelers, but also what I see online, and I communicate with different communities and seeing what people are asking about. And the one that's always at the top of the list is traveler's insurance. A lot of people want to know, do I really need it? And I would say with my group travelers, probably about 70% of the travelers will purchase it. Mm-hmm. I think oftentimes what happens is that the older a person gets, the more they purchase traveler's insurance. So the answer to the question is, yes, I'm an advocate for traveler's insurance for numerous reasons. One is basically that it's not trip cancellation insurance, and that's one of the reasons that a lot of people don't buy it, because they think, I'm going to take the trip, because there could be reasons beyond your control that you're not going to take your trip. It's not just about cancellation. It covers trip cancellation. It covers trip interruption. It covers delay. It covers baggage delay, baggage loss, mm-hmm. and all of these things. But it also includes medevac, medical care, if you lost your passport, these kinds of assistances. So you want to think about it in a more comprehensive term of traveler's insurance and not trip cancellation insurance. So that often happens. But you want to know what kind of policy you have as well.
Right.
They're individual policies, and then they're comprehensive policies. One of our followers asked me on Facebook about the clarification, because she said that she bought traveler's insurance. Her flight was delayed, so she went out and bought some things, and then she was denied her claim because it wasn't more than 24 hours. It's not any delay.
Right.
So with anything, you want to make sure you know what you have. So when you purchase traveler's insurance, know what that policy is, because that would tell you it will cover expenses if you're delayed for more than 24 hours. They're kind of figuring, what expenses would you really have if you're delayed less than 24 hours?
Well, it also depends, I guess, if your luggage is lost in that delay. But, yeah, I think traveler's insurance is very much needed. And like you said, you really have to read the policy and stuff. I'm going to put you on the spot here, though. Is there one better than another, or how do you weigh the difference?
When you're using any of the main ones,
mm-hmm.
I think you're fine. Mm-hmm. What you need to be concerned with is if you're buying an insurance policy that is not just offered, but provided by the company that you're purchasing from, because it may only protect you for travel within that company, where you can cancel, you don't get your money back, but you get a credit or a voucher to use for a later date only with that company. So that's something that you want to make sure of. Like, what we offer is not provided by us. It's only offered by us. So you can buy it directly from them, whether you go through us or not. So it's a standalone traveler's insurance. It's an insurance company. So that's one thing you want to look for. And the other things that you want to consider, the reasons to buy travel insurance, is your flight may be canceled. There are additional expenses, inconveniences that you may have. And you may be thinking, well, isn't the airline responsible? Yes and no. I mean, yes, they're responsible to a certain extent, but a lot of times you really have to battle with them to get taken care of. And it may not be what suits your needs the most. If you want something hassle-free, it's best to get an independent traveler's insurance. Your bags are lost and your medication is in it. That can really skyrocket. You know, now you have to get medications, and it's going to maybe further delay you because you have to take care of other things. Your passport or your wallet is stolen. That's something that we talked about earlier, and they're going to help you get the things that you need. So not only is it going to help you with the expenses of replacing those things, but it's going to help you replace those things.
Right.
It's going to provide you with assistance. And, of course, the one we all know is if you need to cancel due to illness. And a lot of insurance policies will cover you not just if you become ill, but if a travel companion or an immediate family member gets ill.
Oh.
Because let's say if it's a parent
mm-hmm.
or a child, then obviously you may have to, and not just have to, but may need to or want to stay and take care of them, or you need to know what's going on, or maybe there's somebody that you take care of. So it'll cover for those reasons as well.
Oh, great. Now, Javon, do I really need to be vaccinated every time I go somewhere out of the country?
Not every time you go somewhere. And vaccinations is something that I get asked a lot. We do a lot of trips to South Africa. It's one of our top destinations. And with that being said, South Africa is also a destination where you don't, or I should say you're not required to have vaccinations. So there's a very fine line. We will, as a travel professional, we will tell you what is required. Of course, there are always recommendations and suggestions. We don't make those recommendations or suggestions because we're not healthcare professionals. So we're going to recommend that you talk to your healthcare professional or you visit cdc.gov or you can even go to travel.state.gov and look up that particular country and it'll tell you what is suggested, what is recommended, or what is required. So that's the difference, finding out what's required versus what is suggested or requested or recommended.
I think the first time I went to South Africa, we went on safari, and for some reason they told us to take malaria tablets, and I think that was South Africa opposed to West Africa.
Well, South Africa, your first trip, you went to Kruger National Park. Kruger is not in a malaria-free zone. Actually, it is some times of the year. Other times of the year, it's not. So with South Africa, it depends on what part of the country you're in. Most of our trips don't go much further than Johannesburg or Pilansburg, which is just a little northwest of Johannesburg in the Gauteng area. And those areas are in a malaria-free zone. And that's not a vaccination. That's a medication that you would take to prevent malaria. And so that's a distinction as well. But what I wanted to talk about when it comes to vaccinations is that there are some routine immunizations that you should have whether you leave the United States or not. And they are tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis, measles, mumps, rubella, and polio.
I've never heard of pertussis.
Yes, pertussis. I hadn't either until I saw this. And then, of course, flu shots and, you know, depending on what time of the year. But there are routine immunizations that a health clinic or a travel clinic would say you should stay current with. And a lot of people travel with a card, an immunization card, and I recommend that you travel with that, especially if you're going to countries that require. I mean, one of the ones that's almost always required or on that list of required is yellow fever. And it's not everywhere, but it depends on where you're traveling to. West Africa's like Ghana, it's one of those countries that require yellow fever vaccination. Some other countries will require that you have a yellow fever vaccination if you come from certain areas or if you've visited certain areas within a certain amount of time. So this is something that you want to know because you could be denied entry into the country or they may offer the vaccination there and you don't want to do that. And there's also a report that says that many Americans don't get recommended vaccines before they travel. And, you know, I'm probably one of them. Depending on where I travel to, it has to, for me, and I'm not trying to sway anybody's decision because, again, I'm not a healthcare professional, and so I'm not providing a recommendation or a suggestion. I'm just saying for me personally that I look for the words highly. So if it says highly recommended, then I'm going to err on the side of caution and get that. But there are some other things that you may want to request from your doctor and to protect yourself against some of the things that can happen to you while you're traveling. And traveler's diarrhea is one of them. And so getting Cipral, a medication for that, just in case. And it's not necessarily that you have something or you've ingested something that's bacterial, but it could be that your system just isn't used to the different bacteria or spices even. And
sure, any of that good stuff, trust me, just may hit.
Yeah.
And it's good to be prepared.
Yeah, so anything that you may get that's intestinal is something. So, and the other thing is, it's always best to get bottled water. It's always best to limit fruits and vegetables that you don't peel yourself or that are outside of main institutions like hotels and so forth. But even in those situations sometimes, even if it's a five-star hotel and if it's in an area that says highly recommended or suggested, then that's something that you may want to consider, or especially if it's a fruit or vegetable that you don't peel yourself. So if you take precaution and staying away from raw items, especially seafoods or other meats, and you know, just getting things that are well cooked, well prepared, because you don't know what they're washing things in, if it's being washed with water that's not purified, or even a handler's unclean hands, and that can happen to you here in the United States.
What got me was ice. I never thought, they use bottled water, but I never thought about having ice.
Okay. Yeah, I always say I'll have bottled water, no ice, please. And one of my travelers asked me, why no ice? I was like, well, where did they make the ice from?
Duh.
Yeah. So now you've contaminated your bottled water. So.
Now, Javon, one of the things that we talked about before, but do I really need traveler's checks when I go to some places?
Well, I do get asked that question a lot. And again, it's based on the age of the traveler, because certainly people that are 30 or older remember traveler's checks. And you are always recommended to get traveler's checks because it protected your money.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were lost or stolen, you had numbers. You could call the institution that you got them from, like American Express or Travelex, and you can get them replaced. And so it was a lot better than cash. But now there's so many ways to get cash overseas that traveler's checks are pretty much a thing of yesteryear. Pretty much a thing of the past.
Do they still sell them?
They do. Oh. Travelex sells them, and I think some American Express outlets sell them, but a lot of American Express outlets have closed. So there's just many ways to get cash or to make purchases. Of course, credit cards are king.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, your debit cards, because you can use the ATM and get money overseas. Now with international banking and transactions, you can get money internationally using your ATM card. And you, with both the credit card and your ATM card, you're getting the interbank rate. However, you do want to check to see what fees are charged. But I can tell you a lot of times those fees on credit card transactions are still lower than a currency exchange rate that you're going or fee that you're going to pay. And certainly it's less than what hotels will charge you.
And I know most of you already know this, but just to let you know, when you go to the ATM overseas, you're going to get their money. Don't expect to get American money. It's their money. And you'd be surprised how many people think that it would be American money.
There's one exception that I found on that one.
Where?
In Zimbabwe. When you use your ATM, you get U.S. currency. Because their currency is in such flux that it has no value. So, yes, in Zimbabwe, if you use an ATM machine with your debit card, you will get U.S. currency.
Mm.
So, yeah, I found an exception to that rule. But so, again, for credit cards, it's best for large purchases. And, you know, it will also give you that interbank rate. One thing to be concerned with is that some restaurants, especially small ones, little taverns or sidewalk cafes or kiosks, may not take credit cards. So you always want to have some cash handy and ready.
And several different, well, I know we went somewhere and they didn't take American Express, but right. they only took Visa or MasterCard.
Well, and that was the next point I was going to make. American Express is not widely accepted outside of the United States anymore. And some institutions say that they just charge a whole lot. But your main ones, like your hotels and some of maybe more high-end or bigger restaurants will. But certainly a lot of places will only take MasterCard or Visa. And another thing with credit cards that you want to watch out for is that going back to this PIN, chip and PIN, a lot of European countries have the chip and PIN, and some African countries as well. So you may find that their system isn't equipped for a swipe, or that it won't read your card, because even our cards that have the chip mm-hmm. sometimes aren't chip and PIN. They're chip and signature, and a lot of their systems are chip and PIN.
Okay.
So that's something that you want to maybe know about. And it doesn't mean that they absolutely can't take them, but you may get a decline or cannot process, and you may need to see another attendant who will have to swipe it or get a different machine to do the magnetic strip and do the swiping for you. And so the other thing with debit cards and credit cards is you want to call your bank before you leave.
Yes.
Because it will give you a fraud alert and decline your purchases. And there are two things you can do, and I have mine set up on a text system. So my bank will text me, and I can text them right back. And then that way I can continue to use my card without having to call them. The other thing you can do is get the app. And so when you have the credit card company's app, you can alert them via the app, or they can communicate with you via the app as well. So that just makes it a lot more convenient, because I've been on the phone with them sometimes where I'm just on hold and I'm trying to clear up these transactions and they're asking you a ton of security questions.
Right, because you forgot.
Yeah. Right. Now, there's another question that I often get when it comes to cash. And so we've already determined and we've answered that question that you don't need traveler's checks unless you want to get some just for emergency sake or old time sake. However, some of these companies now issue credit or like check cards. So they operate sort of like debit cards. Just make sure that they're going to be widely accepted or come under a Visa or a MasterCard. So some of them do have those. And then whether or not to get cash before you leave. And I say if you're not part of a group or if you don't have things pre-booked for you, you may want to get maybe $100 converted to local currency, and you can get that at any international bank and or your bank. But don't get a lot of money because you won't get the best exchange rate.
While you're there. Now, Javon, PSA PreCheck. Do you really need that?
I love it.
So do I.
And if you are a frequent traveler, I would say it would behoove you to get it. If you are a business traveler, it would behoove you to get it. You don't have to take your shoes off. For men, you don't have to take your belt off. You don't have to take off light jackets. Of course, big coats you do. I've even had my hat on and didn't have to take it off. You don't have to take your toiletries or your laptop out of your bag. You can keep all of that in. And if you're in a rush, it's a shorter line, and because you don't have to take these things off, you go through very quickly. So if you are a very leisure traveler and you don't travel that often, yeah, you may not need it.
But if you do have it, make sure that when you are doing your booking, that your pre-check number is on your boarding pass.
Well, it has to be. And it's not on every airline is not compliant with it. There are actually, I think, about 12 airlines. So Air Canada, Alaska Airlines, American, Delta, Hawaiian Airlines, JetBlue, OneJet, Southwest Airlines, United, of course, WestJet, Delta, Sun Country, and Virgin America are ones that have it, but it has to be on your boarding pass. I still see people trying to show their card It has to be on your boarding pass for it to be accepted.
Okay. I want to go to New York to see something. Do I need a travel agent to book the trip? Or even if I want to go overseas, do I need a travel agent?
Well, I'd say there are times where, yes, you need a travel agent. If it's a complex itinerary, you need a travel agent. And if it is more of, I would say, a more expensive trip, I would say get a travel agent. If it's a long-haul international trip, use a travel agent. And here are the reasons why. The dynamic of a travel agent has really changed in that they're now specialists or advisors. And when I say specialist, that dynamic has changed because you have some that may be cruise specialists. You have some that may be a specialist for a particular destination. You may have a general travel agent, and they're far and few between, but those other ones that are specialists, they have deals that you probably can't get, like upgrades and things like that, especially with cruise lines. They also may have a preferred supplier list that they work from, where they're not only going to get the best rates for you, but they may get added value items for you. And certainly if something goes wrong, because of their relationships and because of their expertise, they can really help you out. So those are some of the reasons that you want to use a travel agency. And again, it's an age thing. You know, a lot of people who are, let's say, 40 and older will more than likely use a travel agency than someone who is 30 or less.
I'm sorry to break in here. There are so many people here who claim that they're, who say that they're travel agents and they do the in-home type thing. How do you find, how do you know you've got a good travel agent that can really?
Well, sometimes it is just trial and error, because even somebody who works for a big company may not be a good travel agent, but you have the company as a backup and maybe you can go to someone else. Someone who is very independent may have a lot of experience and an expertise and a specialist, or they may specialize in something, so it doesn't mean that they are not good or they're credited. I would look for somebody with years of experience, ask them how long they've been in the business. I would look for somebody who has credentials. You know, are they members of organizations? Have they taken courses and classes to further their education? And are they a specialist? How many years have they been a specialist at that particular thing? So those are the things you really want to look at. What memberships they're a part of, ASTA or IATA or CLIA. So you want to look for those certifications.
Wow, this topic can go on for a whole nother session.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot I'm going to know. Do I really need that?
Right.
We have to go to
that. We do. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some of those personal needs. And we're going to tell you what flight attendants are really thinking. And I'm Javon Harley on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141.
The world is a book, and those who do not travel read only a page. See the world with Advantage International. Advantage specializes in group travel and offers group trips to top destinations around the world. Join an existing group or have a travel specialist at Advantage design that special trip for your organization, family, school, or church. Go to advantage-intl.com for a current trip or call Advantage at 1-877-428-2773.
At Video Twist Production, we understand that capturing memories on video means capturing what's really important. Bringing your life, the story, without a pen. Whether you're hosting an event or putting together a demo, production can captivate your content, allowing your viewer to relive an experience of a lifetime. We take pride and pay attention to every detail in turning your valued ideas into everlasting memories. Call 708-333-5300. Mention The Traveling Eye and receive a free gift. That's 708-333-5200.
Every day, more than 1.4 million American lives are disrupted by Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. This year alone, 70,000 new cases will be diagnosed, and more of those are children.